My brother is still insisting on his interpretation that homosexuality is sinful and that the Bible teaches so. I want to come back to the languages and just show you, if you can run that back here, I want to show you what the scriptural translations have rendered to us over the years, going back to the 1500s. On 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, this is how it read. Neither abusers of themselves with mankind, meaning both women or men. Again, St. Paul knew the word for homosexual love. He never used it. He could speak five languages fluently. Fluently. And he never used the word, which they now translate as homosexual, and did not do so until 1951, was it ever printed in the Bible by the RSV. And by 1968, the RSV had deleted the word homosexual and replaced it with the word sexual perverts. The reason you cannot find three or four copies of a modern translation which read the same when it comes to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 is clear evidence enough to me and to many gay and lesbian people that the translating authorities themselves have a bias when it comes to translating, and that secondly, they do not have the ability to understand the intent of St. Paul when he wrote in the Koine Greek. Let's understand that the Koine Greek that the Bible was penned in, this language, was dead by the time the first translations of the scripture were being done, and that didn't happen until around 1100. That language was no longer even spoken. There was no one around that you could go to and say, what does that mean? Greek had evolved and had changed. It was not the same as it was back then. So to say that this is literally it and we're not going to accept any other definition, it means homosexual, I think is wrong. And I think it leaves the church itself vulnerable to one day standing before the Lord, and when the Lord asks you, what did you do toward your sister and brother who happened to be gay? And God will ask that question. The church is wrong on this. The church has been wrong on this. And the church continues to be wrong on this. I do not claim to have all the light. But I do know my heart. And I know the hearts of countless women and men who have attempted to serve God with all their heart to the best of their ability. Your expectation that they become heterosexual or that they live celibately the rest of their lives is wrong. Not when your churches are full of adulterers. Not when your churches perform marriages for people that are divorced and remarried. Not when your church continues to make allowances for women that wear red dresses to stand up and take authority over men. Not when you sit at home and eat oysters and shrimp and steak and rare steak and lobsters. All of those things that the Old Testament prohibited. Not when you sit here this morning dressed in wool and cotton mixtures. Not when you don't observe the health laws and all of those things that Moses gave. We're talking about law and we're talking about grace. I am saved by grace. Justification is the doctrine of the New Testament. Justification by faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I am not pretending that people are saved in their sins, but from their sins. Amen. Prejudice based on misinterpretation of the scripture is sin. Homophobia is sin. The denial of equality and equal rights to fellow human beings and sisters and brothers in the body of Christ is sin. This issue is not going away from you. It will not cease to trouble you until we are treated full and equally as equal members in the body of Christ. I am giving you this in the name of Jesus.
It is not going away from you. You will bury yourselves and your children, but you will not do away with this issue. We will continue to talk with you. We will continue to hound you. We will continue to endeavor to explain to you and show you the gifts that God has given us that we want to bring to the table and share with you.
Amen.
Do not judge us and leave us outside. Do not sin against us. We have not sinned against you. We have appealed to you. We have called to you. This is what the Scripture says. 15:39, here is the great Bible. For neither fornicators nor worshippers of images, are we talking about idolatry or not? Neither adulterers or adulterers, neither weaklings, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Any of you feel weak here today? Do you all feel strong? Are you going to heaven because you're weak? What does Malachi mean? Malachi meant one who, if I said to you, you're just malocious, I would have said, you are so morally soft you cannot make a conscious decision and stick by it. That's how it was used by St. Paul. Jesus used the same word when he referred to John the Baptist and his clothing. What did you come out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? A man dressed in malacos? I tell you, those who wear malacos live in king's houses.
Amen.
So it has two meanings. It meant soft raiment and it meant soft morals. It had nothing to do with being effeminate. King James himself was a homosexual. Put to death. He was an effeminate male. If anyone was ever one. As the British said, when Elizabeth became queen, James was queen, and now Elizabeth is king. But you know politicians. They often masquerade as what they aren't.
Yes.
Nevertheless, in the body of Christ, we don't come to God pretending to be something we're not.
Amen.
God knows the heart. God looks on the heart, not on the outward condition. 15:60, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor wantons, nor boogerers, nor thieves, nor covetous. You know where booger comes from. You ever hear the booger man? You ever hear of buggery? An old English term for inappropriate sexual behavior. And here in the South, of course, we all grew up as Southerners. We've heard the fellas sit around after a good game of deer hunting, and here comes one of the grandchildren. They say, he's a cute little booger, isn't he? Mm-mm-mm. Don't even know what we're saying. The boogers, the Bogomils, were a religious order with whom an agreement was made with one of the popes. You leave this religious, or you leave this particular pope alone, and we'll give you this religious order. Then they disbanded the religious order, the Bogomils, for sexual abuse. Boogers, Bogomils. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. 15:68. I want you to see how quickly the translations happen. Do not err, neither fornicators, nor servers, nor of idols, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor the liars with mankind. 16:11. Nor adulterers, nor fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, singularly. Notice it ceases to be mankind, women or men, and becomes singularly men. 1981. 1901. Notice that there was a big 400-year period where there were very little changes in the language. I don't come to you saying, thee art beautiful this morning, my sister. Everyone is queer except in me and thee, but even thou art a little strange. I don't come speaking that way to you. 1901, American Standard. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men. The sexism becomes more pronounced. The men are now in charge completely. Women have no place at all. Why? Because women are agitating worldwide in the West to vote. We want to make sure. We're only talking about men nowadays. In 1901, because these women, these perverted women, are wanting the right to go to the polls and elect men to office. You see how social things in fear and the bias of translators in any generation also affects what we read and what is called the Scripture. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts. 1946. Neither the impure, the idolater, or the adulterer, neither the effeminate, or the pervert. Neither fornicators or idolater, none who are guilty of adultery or of homosexual perversions. Is there perversion and then homosexual perversion, or is all homosexuals perverted? To them, here's 1 Timothy 1:10. To them that defile themselves with mankind, 1539, 1560, to booberers, to 1568, Bishop's Bible, to them that defile themselves with mankind, 1582, to liars with mankind. As our brother said, sleeping with women, sleeping with men. For them that defile themselves with mankind, and then 1881, abusers of themselves with men, abusers of themselves with men. 1 Timothy takes on the same meaning as 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Sodomites, 1946. A sodomite was not a homosexual. Never has been a homosexual. Never will be a homosexual. And I want to take just a moment here to read from the only place in the Bible where it tells you what the sin of Sodom was. And that is in Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. You will not challenge anybody to tell me what the sin of Sodom was based on any other scriptures. Especially the Genesis account. God had decided to destroy that city already before this attempted rape on the angelic messengers ever occurred. And whatever sex with angels is, it's not homosexuality. It may be the strange flesh that we hear about in Jude's writings. Consider the angels who kept not their first estate. Ezekiel 16? Yes. Listen to what God is saying, or the prophet is saying, to the people, the chosen people of God, Israel. Everyone, verse 44, everyone who uses proverbs will use this proverb against you, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You are your spiritual mother's daughter who loathes her husband and her children. You are the sister of your sister who loathes their husbands and their children. Sounds like the modern cartoon, Yo Mama. Yo Mama is, you know, have you seen that horrible young people's program? Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. And your elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters who dwelt in the north and at your left hand. And your younger sister who dwelt in the south at your right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet you were not satisfied to walk after their ways or do after their abominations. But very soon you were more corrupt in all of your ways than they were. For your sin, as those taught of God, is far darker than theirs. As I live, says the Lord God, your sister Sodom has not done, she nor her daughters, as you have done, you and your daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Pride. Yes. An overabundance of food. Yes. Prosperous ease and idleness were hers and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They were haughty and committed idolatrous abomination and offenses before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw it and I saw fit. And may I say, God was completely justified. This particular abundance with food and idleness and prosperity and all of that describes very much a lot of modern Western civilization. And when it lifts not its hands to help the poor, they too are sodomites.
Yes. Amen.
Neither has Samaria committed half of your sins. Let me just take you on down to the rest of this and ask you to read the rest of it through verse 63. Because you will find God saying, I will restore them again and restore the fortunes of Sodom and her daughters. What does God mean by that? That God's going to restore Sodom and Gomorrah after He took them away? What does God mean by saying that I will return them to their former estate and in that day you will be ashamed because you never talked about them without sticking out your tongue and wagging your head and judging them? But I will show you so that you will be ashamed in the day when I restore their fortunes. I will likewise have mercy and then restore you, says the Lord. And you can read it anywhere you want to, in any translation, but Ezekiel gives the reason for the destruction of the city, not Genesis. And if you take it from there and listen to what Jesus said, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the day in the day of justice for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. He said to the people of Israel. Is God saying that to the church too?